Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and are always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today, we have an author interview with Beverly Long. Beverly has a long career that spans more than two decades with about 20 books published. Beverly writes romantic suspense as well as suspense series. This year, she just launched a new suspense series with 10 Days Gone. It's her first book in the series. In this interview, we chat about her writing process, 10 Days Gone, as well as around the book organization. Now, let's get to the interview. Hi, Beverly. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in the Midwest, and I've lived in Northern Illinois for most of my life. I am married, and I have two grown daughters. Within the last few months, I've moved to the St. Louis area. So right now, my life consists of a daily pilgrimage to stare at the boxes in my garage and basement, where I experience a general feeling of being overwhelmed. And then I happily decide that I'll tackle them another day. I said to someone recently that at this rate, I may never find the box where my toaster is.
I hear you. Well, I'm moving next month. So I'm moving to Illinois, to Chicago. So I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, best of luck with that.
Thank you. I'm not looking forward to moving all my boxes and just be in boxes and just being packed up. So, but yeah.
It is a lot of work.
It is. It is. It is like you put it all together, put it back, and then you have to unpack it and then find it at home. And it's just like, it's a whole process. Not looking forward to it. What inspired you to become a writer?
Well, I was a pretty good student, and my parents were rather insistent that I go to college. But the advice they gave me was always simple. Get a good job, they would say. The town I lived in was small, and I didn't know any writers, so it never dawned on me to study anything to do with writing or publishing, even though writing had always been easy for me. In high school, if there was a choice between dissecting the frog, which, you know, might take 10 minutes, and writing the paper about it, which would take much longer, I picked the paper every time. It just felt comfortable to me. But with a good job in mind, I went to college and I studied human resource management. Okay. I graduated, ultimately went back to school to get an MBA, had a nice career working as an HR leader in a couple different companies. But I was always a reader. And as a preteen, I had gravitated toward those books with the girl detective, you know, Nancy Drew, Trixie Belden. The summer I turned 16, I discovered the Harlequin romance novel. And I tell this story all the time because people in my area recognize these places and they always think, oh, yes, I can see how this would have happened to her. But I was waitressing at a state park, and every Sunday, as I left the park with, you know, tip money jingling in my pockets, I had to pass by a flea market where I could buy five used books for a dollar. Oh, so I would buy 25 books for $5, and then I would spend every available hour that I wasn't working reading and sunbathing in my parents' yard. Now, keep in mind, I was 16. Yeah. But the next week, I would repeat the process. I loved them, and I was especially fond of the ones that had mystery or intrigue. So I knew that's where my great love was. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until some 20 years later, in my mid-30s, that I decided I might want to try to write a book.
That's amazing. I love the story. I love, like, discovering, you know, genre and then discovering what you love about it.
I know.
That's really amazing. And five books for a dollar? What a bargain.
However, in one of my moves, I had to move all those books. Yeah. I no longer have them all, but
I was gonna say, I was like, do you still have them all? You know, So.
No.
Awesome. So what was your journey to get your first book published?
Well, I probably made my first mistake when I told people that I was going to write a book. I've been pretty successful at most things in my life, and I sort of assumed that if I set my mind to it, it would happen. I think I was blissfully ignorant. But I had stories in my head, but I certainly didn't know anything about actually writing a whole book. I was fortunate that at the time I was working in the Chicago suburbs, and I got connected to Chicago North, which is a chapter of the Romance Writers of America. And I tell people this all the time, and I think I even have it on my website, that I do not believe that I would be published today if I hadn't found Chicago North. One of the reasons is that at those meetings, one or two members would read aloud from their current work in process. And then the other members would either critique verbally or in writing, whatever they were comfortable with. And as I sat and listened to some of the readings, I was impressed with the quality. So afterwards, I would, of course, you know, hunt out the reader, and I would ask them about their writing, and they would tell me they'd been writing for 8 or 10 or 12, sometimes 15 years, and they still weren't published. Now, keep in mind, this was before self-publishing was an option. But I can still remember going home from one of the meetings and saying to my husband, I think this is going to be harder than I thought and take a lot longer. But if the reason I credit Chicago North is that if not for that experience, I might have given up after my first book, or my second, or my third, or my fourth book were all rejected by editors and agents. But the advice that the successful published writers of the group gave me was always the same. Keep writing. Keep improving your craft. Hone your voice. So I did. And after 8 years, I sold the fifth book I'd written. The title was Stay With Me. It was a time travel romance where a present day heroine time travels back to 1888 Wyoming territory. I sold it to Berkeley and it was published in 2005. And I still love that book. I was able to get the rights back several years ago and I self-published it. So it remains available. I ultimately did only a couple time travels before I returned to romantic suspense. And that's really where I've spent the bulk of my career.
I love it. And what do you love about romantic suspense? Do you give us a hint that you love, you know, the ones with mystery and thrillers, but what's something about this genre that you love about?
Well, I think that with romantic suspense, you, of course, have two story arcs. You've got the romance going, and then you've got the suspense element. I love the fact of moving both of them forward in tandem, so that ultimately they're going to merge at the end of the book and have a satisfying ending for the reader. I love that there's lots of action. It's pretty fast-paced.
Yeah, I love about that. About romantic suspense, for me, is something that's just like, it keeps you going. Like, it's not just the conflict about the relationship, but there's like an action. There's an element outside that creates, you know, the pace of the book go faster.
So. Exactly. Yes.
So let's talk about writing. Do you follow an outline?
Well, I've done both. But for the last 10 years or so, I've been under contract with sometimes pretty aggressive deadlines. So quite frankly, it's made me a better planner. I don't know if this is unusual or not, but I generally work on an idea for a book about a year or two in advance of when I'm going to write it. I know, broad strokes at that point, right? For example, I might only know that it's going to be a heroine in hiding. Her life is in danger because she's the key witness to a murder. But that's enough for me to start noodling it around, to start thinking, well, maybe this could happen or maybe that could happen. Ultimately, when it's time to propose this book to my editor, I'll have a pretty detailed outline of the story. Not to say that certain things don't unfold while writing. In 10 Days Gone, for example, I knew that Tess was going to be unwilling to help herself or other potential victims. That really was necessary for the story to work. But I didn't know why. Not until I was writing the book and her backstory started to reveal itself to me.
Interesting. And that was a powerful backstory. So I thought it was
amazing. Thank you.
That's interesting. I love this. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of the ideas, inspirations, characters, you know, all the different pieces together?
Well, I keep way too much in my head, and I spend way too much time backtracking to make sure I'm consistently describing a character. I could definitely improve in this area, and I'm jealous of the writers who are really good at this. But what I've learned over the years is that everyone's process is slightly different and that you simply have to accept what works for you.
Yeah, it's so true. I think it's just finding your groove, you know, finding what works for you and then seeing how it evolves with time.
I think so.
Yeah. Do you share your work along the way or do you wait until it's completed for others to read?
Well, in the early years, when I was able to attend the Chicago North meetings, I did participate in the critique sessions, okay. Found them very valuable. I really appreciated the feedback from other members of the group. Of course, you have to learn to somewhat ignore the outliers. Mm-hmm. Whether the comments are positive or negative, you probably shouldn't pay attention to, you know, what one or two people might think. But if you start to get common feedback from a group of people who've listened to the work, then I think, you know, a writer needs to pay attention. I don't do those types of critique sessions anymore. I don't share my work ahead of time. I basically write the book and send it off to my agent or my editor.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, let's talk about 10 Days Long, which is a police procedural where main characters are searching for the serial killer. How much research did you conduct to get the police procedural part down?
My bookshelves are filled with how-to books. For example, how to investigate a crime scene, how to conduct an autopsy. You know, most of these have been purchased when I attended annual conferences. Yes. The bookstores on site are generally pretty good, and they have good research material. It's actually quite fun when someone who doesn't know me very well sees my bookshelf. Mm-hmm. I hosted a shower for a good friend once, and some folks didn't know I was a writer. And so they came over to my house, and I saw them looking at my bookshelf. And I could just imagine that they were trying to find the closest exit because they're thinking, this lady is weird. But of course, yes, right? But I have also attended lots of conferences that are specific to writers who write crime fiction, police procedurals, you know, like Writers Police Academy, things like that. And then, of course, you always have to have a couple close, trusted sources that you can reach out to when you have a very specific question.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially when you think about, you know, an autopsy or a crime scene, you know, and trying to figure out how is it going to be realistic. You know, the same.
Right.
Still live with the story, too. So.
Right, right. And you have to find someone who really understands that, understands what you're attempting to do. You're attempting to get a broad understanding, maybe not the very specific details, but just enough of an understanding that you can convey it appropriately to the reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the relationship between AL and Rena, or how do you say her name, actually?
Rena. I say it Rena.
Okay. Is unique because they're working together on the case, but their life circumstances are, you know, imagined. Like AL is a divorce and he has a grown-up daughter who's struggling. And then Rena is trying to have a baby and she's like, her marriage is like, it doesn't know. We're not sure how the marriage is going. What was important to dive into the home life of the police detectives as opposed to just focusing the police procedural?
As a reader, I enjoy most those books where I care about the characters, mm-hmm. not just where I'm interested in how the crime gets solved. So for the first book of this series, I wanted to do a good job of introducing the characters.
Okay.
The work relationship between AL and Rena was very important for me to get right.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I did have the good fortune of having great working relationships when I was an HR director. Mm-hmm. I understand that your coworkers, especially your partner at work, mm-hmm. they become a very important person in your life.
Yeah.
In regards to opening up their personal lives, I simply wanted the reader to see them as a whole character, not simply as a police detective.
Yeah, I think I got it. I felt like it was, I was invested in reading the story more than Ailes, and just because of her own struggle and what was going on. But I felt like it was actually really, it was a holistic view of the characters. Like, it wasn't like, you know, they're searching for the serial killer and this is what's going on. Like, there was actually a process. There was like something, there was a backstory that we wanted to get to know better. So.
Good. Good. Thank you. And I hope it helps in future books that readers will have some of that backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. So the book is sort of a cat and mouse game full of twists. So did you plan ahead the story, or you just saw the story unfold? I knew you mentioned you had an outline, but some of the backstories, you know, unfolded itself. So some of the twists of like finding, did you know who the serial killer was? That's my question, actually.
Well, first of all, I love the cat and mouse. That's great. That's a great descriptive phrase. So, and I like the fact that you thought that, because that really does keep a reader interested in the book. Mm-hmm. I would say that for a police procedural, a writer probably knows more about the story than less when they're writing it, mm-hmm. because you really do have to keep track of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But that being said, there are always things where I didn't know everything in advance. And I'm glad, because I don't think the book would be as fun to write if somehow I didn't discover a few things along the way.
Okay. That's exciting. I think it makes it exciting as an author to have that aha moment, just be like, oh, I did not realize this was happening. That makes it a more fun process.
It is. And you want to tell people, you want to say, oh my gosh, I didn't know this.
Yeah. And I think as a reader, they find that it feels organic, and it feels like an exciting process. Like, you did not realize like this backstory, like test backstory. I did not realize like it was like such an important thing. It makes sense, the reason why she was so reticent to help the police, but the whole process is so unique that you wouldn't think it'll be possible. So what can we expect about the upcoming book No One Saw?
So it is another police procedural with Ailes and Rena. It takes place just a few months after 10 Days Gone closes down. This time the crime is that a 5-year-old is missing from her daycare. No one seems to know anything, but it soon becomes abundantly clear that everybody is lying about something.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. And
I'm very fortunate with the publication schedule, because it's going to come out in June of 2020, so just a couple months after 10 Days Gone, and that's just great.
I love it. And will we ever find out what AL stand for? Because I know he was like, I'm not going to tell you that. So.
Well, I just can't tell you that.
Okay. We'll keep reading and see if we can actually find out what his name is really. I love that good mystery that's happening.
Thank you.
Now let's get to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
I am not confident that I have a favorite anymore, and I'm happy about that. So a couple years ago, a book club asked me to come speak to their group. They had all read one of my books, and it was a great experience. I had a lot of fun, and as I was leaving, I told them, you know, if there's ever a spot available in your book club, I hope you would think of me. I think they thought I was kidding. I wasn't. These were smart, fun women talking about interesting things. A few weeks later, the organizer called to thank me again for coming to the meeting, and I once again told her that I want to be part of the group. This time, they took me up on it. Ooh. So I have read some really interesting books as a result, books that I would not have read before, biographies, historical fiction, lots of different things. I am grateful for that.
That's amazing. I love the power of book recommendations and book clubs where you get to connect with other people, have good conversation at the same time, discover new genres, discover new books, discover new authors. That's really exciting.
Yes.
So
I just would encourage anyone who has a chance to join a book club to really give that serious consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as I moved to Chicago, that's like one of the first things that I did was to find a couple book clubs. So I did find one that reads nonfiction and fiction that I'm join. So I'm excited. I think it's a great way to meet friends and you're trying to talk about books.
Right, right. I think it's a wonderful way to meet new people, especially when you're living in a new city. Mm-hmm. And generally, you know, readers are so interesting that you can't help but enjoy the conversations you have with them.
Yeah, it's exciting. So who's your favorite author?
Well, I guess I would start out by reserving the right to change my answer later, only because as I read new things, I'm amazed at some of the writing. I just think there are lots of really talented people writing at this point in time. I can tell you that I have an author who's an auto-buy for me, and that is Kristen Hannah.
What are your top three favorite books of all time?
That is a very difficult question. I would go back to Kristen Hannah. I thought The Nightingale was amazing. Mm-hmm. For the other two, I'd say On Writing by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. It is a book that I buy for other people and give to them, especially aspiring writers. And then probably the Elizabeth Gilbert book, Eat, Love, Pray.
I love it. What has been a book that you read this year that you loved? Or last year?
Well, it was one of the book club selections, and it was The Wright Brothers by David McCullough.
Oh, awesome. Tell us where you can find it online.
Well, my website is easy. It's beverlylong.com. Also, I have an author page on Facebook at beverlylong.romance. I do an email newsletter that I send out a couple times a year, and readers can sign up for that on my website.
That's awesome. Thank you, Beverly, for being on the show.
Oh, yes. I am grateful that you asked me. It's always fun to talk about writing.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly, for a great interview. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new author interview. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.